Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 8-1-18. A good number? Well, hopefully it'll be a good month ahead. Looking back, it's time for Mickey Fulp's monthly major market review for July 2018. Mickey, hey, happy August.
Yeah, already August. Time flies.
Yeah, time flies when you're watching the markets, for sure. And, well, who would think that things would turn out the way they do? I mean, hey, looking at our major markets here, Dow took it definitely took off a little bit during the month, didn't it?
Well, both the Dow and the S&P 500 hit six-month highs. The Dow closed the month 25,415 for a 4.7% gain. S&P 500 28,16 for a 3.6% gain. NASDAQ hit an all-time record during the month, but it came off considerably last week with the Facebook and Twitter debacles. That one day Facebook lost 19%, and the next day Twitter lost 16% of their market caps. NASDAQ still closed up for the month over 2% at 76.72. And finally, Russell 2000 flirted with all-time highs all month and ended up at 16.71 for a 1.7% gain.
Remarkable, especially considering how it appeared the social medias were starting to crumble and yet still closed at a high. And going on to the other markets, the Toronto Exchange.
Toronto's had a very strong last 4 months, up something on the order of 7%. Closed the month at 16,434. That's not that far off its all-time high for a 1% gain. Meanwhile, the Toronto Venture Exchange, exactly the opposite. 6 months of losses now, closed at 706, and that is a plus two-year low. No interest, no volume, hurt by falling commodity prices all month long. Also, the emerging market index, now on a six-month negative streak, closed at 1087. It's lost something like over 10% in the last 6 months. It's at 11-month low, and that really comes from weaker economic data out of China. And no doubt the threat of a trade war with the U.S. Finally, the VIX settled down. It's the summer low again. It was most of the month, minus 13 range, closed at 1283.
Who would think, hey, well, you think it's getting to the point where the emerging and the venture are oversold in oversold territory?
Well, you need some interest in both those markets, even if they are oversold. I think we got to get through Labor Day and take a look then.
Agreed. So we go to our money, our currencies, and a whole lot of nothing going on with the dollar and the euro, huh?
Yeah, basically, we both were flat. The dollar bumps up against this 95 resistance. It actually made it almost to 95 and a half during the month, but it ended up at 94.55 for a 0% gain. Euro, despite its weakness, closed flat at $1.17. And really, this is not about the strength of the U.S. dollar. This is about weakness in all other fiat currencies in the world. 10-year Treasury up near resistance at 3%. That resistance, it closed at 2.96. So every time it's bumped up against that resistance, it falls back. But this still was over a 4% gain in the interest rate, waiting for the Fed decision on July or in August. Interest rates not expected to rise. Finally, Bitcoin proved that it is not DOA. It rebounded significantly over the month, closed at 75.37, up over 20%. Volatility continues.
And it had been over 8,000 for several days, almost
a week, yeah.
But came bouncing down to earth. Well, seen with the metals, not a pretty sight for July.
Well, all the industrial metals and most of the precious metals hit year-over-year lows. Gold closed the month at 1224. It is now on a losing streak of 6 months in a row, bumping up against resistance on the downside at 1210. So far, it's gone, but I think it hit 1212 when I last saw you in Vancouver at Sprott Conference a couple of weeks ago. It refuses to go below that resistance. Silver, it hit its low since March of 2016, so well over a two-year low. It closed at 1549, down almost 4% on the month. Platinum, another bad month. It's on a all these metals I've mentioned are on six-month losing streaks. It closed at 837. It tested its low since 2008 during the global economic crisis. Hit 805 mid-month and bounced right off of that. Meanwhile, palladium, which really functions as industrial metal, and all the industrial metals hit yearly lows during the month. Palladium closed at 928 for a 2% loss. Copper had a very poor month. It went as low as 273 on July 19th. Now that's come off a three and a half year high, of 329 on June 13th. It closed the month at 281 for a 6% loss. And this really has all to do with trade tariffs. All the industrial metals hit yearly lows during the month. That would include zinc and lead and copper.
And then off to the energy market, another market that was really hit. All the hydrocarbons really
well,
hard.
It was a bad month for all the commodities. WTI closed at 68.76, down over 7%. Oil went up too far, too fast, in my opinion. It got really overbought. We are in a supply-demand balance now, so we would expect relatively strong oil prices, which we've seen. Over the month, U.S. production went to an all-time high of 11 million barrels a day. Peak oil, my arse. There is some concern in the oil shale patch, specifically with pipeline and port capacity coming out of the Permian Basin. For that reason, WTI in Cushing is trading, and in Houston both, is trading at about a $15 premium to Midland WTI MDL. So this reflects the ability to get the oil to market. Meanwhile, Brent lost 6.5% over the month to close at 74.25. The Brent to WTI arbitrage is still about the same at about 7-8%. Henry Hub was weak most of the month. It's all about the weatherman this time of year. It closed at 278, down almost 5% over the month. Meanwhile, the only commodity that looked good over the in July was uranium. It surged a whopping 13.5% to close at 25.75. We haven't seen this level since I'm going back to June of 2016. This was based on supply disruption news. Cameco has shuttered and laid off McArthur River, the world's largest uranium mine, and the Key Lake Mill. That was expected that shutdown would continue. What necessarily wasn't expected was the Department of Commerce came out with us going to look at national security section 232 for uranium imports. We now have four U.S. agencies on board with looking at uranium as a critical metal, as a metal that we need to produce in the United States. So we got the DOE, which is said it will not sell surplus uranium into the spot market. The Department of Defense is concerned for nuclear subs, and it turns out that they must use U.S.-produced uranium. Department of Commerce, I've already mentioned, with a Section 232 study. And finally, the Department of the Interior, USGS specifically, has put uranium on its critical minerals list.
And that,
so things are finally looking up in the uranium space, but we have a long way to go. We need $40 uranium to make any dent in U.S. production.
Yeah, the fact that the U.S. government is paying such intense attention to it would probably bode well for the future, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. As a contrarian, it probably, if you are a contrarian, it's time to take a look at U.S. domestic uranium producers and developers, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the stocks have been going up dramatically as well. So further indication.
Yep.
For sure. And then we look at our ratios. There's a few of them there that stand out that need to be discussed.
Well, specifically, I think we want to look at the platinum to gold ratio. It hit weekly lows, all-time lows during the month, closed at 0.68, but it was down to 0.67. Really strong buy signal for platinum, although the gold price right now is pretty strong. Buy signal to platinum to palladium ratio still at an all-time low since we're, let me put that differently, a low since we've been tracking it and low since the great hoarding debacle by GMC in the early 2000s. It closed at 0.9. And the other ratio I'd like to take a whirl at here is the gold to WTI. We're doing a study right now on that distribution, and we're getting really into the bell-shaped curve of that distribution historically since 1971. Gold to WTI right now is 17.5. Now, it is the upper end of that, of the top of that bell-shaped curve. But, historically, it's probably the mean of that curve would be around 15 or around 15 plus or minus 15. So getting to that point right now with it taking 17.5 barrels of oil to buy an ounce of gold.
Yeah, remarkable. Looking at these ratios, it just they're definitely flashing a signal. And let's see what that signal is going to be. But, you know, when we go back a few years ago, even a year, it was in the 20s, the gold to WTI. And now, you know, it hit 16.9 last month. So maybe we're going to see some movement on that front.
Well, with oil strengthening and gold on the downtick, we would expect that to even out here a bit, I think.
All right, so that is it for this month's major market review. Find Mickey's work over at mercenarygeologist.com, and Twitter feed is at mercenarygeo. Find us over at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Our Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz, Facebook page Financial Survival Network. Mickey, let's see what happens in August, but certainly sell in May and go away. It's been working pretty well for the past few years.
It certainly has, Gary. We'll see what happens in August. But more than importantly, I think we're looking forward to the end of the summer doldrums for all markets in September.
Yeah. Hey, and just the VIX down to 12. It hasn't been that low in quite a while. So all these things point to a very complacent, lackluster market on many fronts. And it basically can't continue on that way indefinitely. Something's going to give.
Well, you would hope so. We do not like non-volatile markets. We embrace volatility at mercenarygeologist.com.
All right, Mickey. Till next month, we will see you then.
All right. Thanks a lot, Carrie.